Let's say hi to Attorney Rich Lankoff. He is a Capitol member, Downey and Lankoff, also co-host of Legal Face Off. It's a great podcast we have here at WGNRadio.com. All right, Rich, first of all, I need to talk to you about this video. I saw it a few years ago when it originally happened, but it's been making the rounds again on your social media. And it's you near the stage, and you have your back to the stage, and you have your hand up, and you're smiling. And then all of a sudden, Bruce Springsteen walks up and grabs your hand and high-fives you. What the heck?
Well, I like the fact that you say that Bruce grabbed my hand versus the reality, which was that I was grabbing for any piece of the boss that I could hold on to as a demented fanboy, and I happened to touch a few of his fingers. But I like your version way better, that he was looking to embrace me.
All right, so you had the camera turned around in selfie mode, and you're videoing, and he was sort of coming down a little runway near where you were standing. Were you just hoping against hope that he would catch himself in your screen and then want to be part of it? Because that looks so orchestrated.
Well, listen, I've been to 143, yes, I said 143 Springsteen concerts. So
Dork say what?
Losers say what?
No, okay, I'm totally kidding. It's Bruce.
I know the choreography a little, but you're burying the bet. There's a separate video. It looks the same, but it's actually 2 days earlier where he actually looks at the camera for a selfie. So there's actually the one where I hold his hand very awkwardly and the one where he points to me and does a selfie.
Okay, I do remember that one too. And that, how many years apart was that?
Those were like 2 days apart. That was a few years ago. But, hoping to get some more of those at his next tour, which starts at the end of the month.
I know. That's very exciting. Now, Bruce has become very political. And, you know, if you're on that side of it, fine. If you're not, then people say, oh, Bruce, just shut up and sing us a lovely ballad. But I want to talk about the price of tickets, because all these people, and, you know, I went to see the Eagles and the Rolling Stones. I mean, these people do not need the money, but these tickets are so outrageously high. What can we do about that?
Yeah, well, it's a great question in light of the settlement this week between the Department of Justice at the federal government level and Live Nation and Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is, of course, owned by Live Nation, and the lawsuit was initiated several years ago by both the federal government and about 40 states, where they accused those two companies of being a monopoly, basically, that because they were not only selling tickets, but, you know, controlling the venues and controlling the promotion, that they, in effect, violated the Sherman Act and created a monopoly in the market, which is illegal. The case settled, though, this week, and much to the dismay of many ticket goers like you and I and many others who did think it was a monopoly, the settlement did not result in a breakup of the company, which was what many was looking for. Instead, it settled for a relatively small amount. It was $200 million, which sounds like a lot, but when you consider how much money Live Nation makes, it's literally a drop in the bucket. And they agreed to allow more competitors into their venues. But picture, you know, is basically a slap on the wrist by the DOJ. It doesn't mean that states like Illinois can continue and probably will continue the lawsuit, but it didn't result in a breakup of the alleged monopoly.
Well, what happened to, I can't even for the life of me remember off the top of my head, the bands that went up against Ticketmaster.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Eddie Vedder, of course. How could I forget that? So, like, nothing ever really became of that.
I mean, that resulted in some, you know, some hearings, and, you know, Congress looked into it. There's a few bills introduced that did gain a little traction. But remember, that was all before these two massive companies merged.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster and Live Nation merged. And really, there's not much, you know, if you believe in kind of the free market, there's not much that can be done in some respects. And, of course, the government, you know, there is a law against monopolies. So the government can step in this case did step in. But what emerged from the settlement was really a slap on the wrist against this massive company.
See, it's so hard to decide who to go see live in concert. You have someone you totally love. A lot of people are that way with Bruce Springsteen. So you're going to go whenever he's around or when you can get out to see wherever he is. But then there are other groups that, like, I adore Jeff Lynne, and I saw ELO, and they were fabulous. But to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if I want to spend that money again to go see them. It does limit us.
It's super expensive, but it's ultimately, you know, supply and demand. I mean, you know, the older artists like Springsteen, of course, the demand is limited just by his age and by the infrequency by which he now performs. So 30 shows announced is a big deal. There's a huge demand, obviously, right? But to your earlier point, you know, why these ticket prices are so high and what Live Nation said in their defense and Ticketmaster was that, listen, we're just a conduit. We're no different than when you order, you know, Uber Eats or DoorDash. Don't blame us if the food sucks. We're just delivering it. Ticketmaster similarly argued that we're not setting the prices. We're just performing a service by which it's easier to purchase the tickets. And it's really the artists and the venues who are to blame. There's some truth to that.
Yeah.
I mean, artists could change a lot of this overnight if they wanted to charge less. You know, Ticketmaster does impose their fees, and that was part of this lawsuit. But in reality, I do agree with Ticketmaster and Live Nation that the artists have a lot of power to reduce their fees, and they're not doing it.
I know, and I really wish they would. They don't, like, listen, I know they're not going to walk away from money, but the service fees are not terrible. I mean, they are service fees, but that's not the issue. The price of the actual ticket is the issue. Mary and I were talking about this before, and Rich, you probably don't remember this, but back in the day when we used to line up at Carson Peary Scott and wait for the Ticketmaster window to open so we could get our Go-Go's tickets, you know, there was no online stuff. You'd literally have to go there and wait in line. It was fun.
I remember it being Montgomery Ward.
Oh, okay.
I've been around long enough to go to Montgomery Ward, stand in line, and, yeah, get your paper tickets. God forbid you lose that ticket. It wasn't as easy as refreshing your phone.
right.
Yeah, I mean, ticket prices were, we thought it was exorbitant back then to spend $40 on a ticket. Now Harry Styles, right, announced a huge tour. I mean, those tickets are going for thousands of dollars apiece.
I just don't get it. However, he's not playing to empty stadiums.
Correct.
If the
market wasn't supporting it, then they wouldn't charge those prices.
All right. Well, hold your thought. I want to talk about one more story. These are the type of stories you'll find on the Legal Face-Off podcast. You can find that at WGNradio.com. He's attorney Rich Lankoff. We will continue with him after Mary looks at the weather and traffic. He is an attorney. He's a friend of the show. He has a podcast called Legal Face-Off. You can find it at WGNradio.com. All right. This is one of the most unusual stories. There's a lawsuit against Google alleging that the company's artificial intelligence, their chatbot Gemini, guided this 36-year-old man on a mission to stage, quote, a catastrophic accident near Miami International Airport and destroy all the records and witness part of an escalating series of delusions. And it ended up with this man taking his own life. Now, the man's father sued Google for wrongful death, claiming that AI developers have drawn attention to the mental health dangers of chatbot companionship. I understand this. I mean, it's sad, but I really, you know, some people are delusional.
Right. I mean, these stories are, of course, in the news more than ever. This lawsuit is not the first of its kind. Many services, AI services, chatbots, et cetera, are being sued under the theory that they are more products rather than expressions of free speech. And as such, they can be treated as a product under product liability theories and held responsible if their owners, their developers are not acting in a way that's consistent with, you know, public safety. In this case, as you mentioned, this individual who was 36 was using the more powerful version of Gemini, which is 2.5 Pro. And in that mode, the chatbot was, you know, very immersive. It was role-playing, allegedly, calling itself this guy's wife, calling him my king, describing a romantic bond between the two of them. Ultimately, again, according to the allegation, is that was that ultimately it said, you know, if you leave your body, you're simply going to be transferred from the human realm to the digital realm, and we'll be together. And also encouraged him allegedly to commit this act of mass violence at the Miami airport, which he did not conduct, but went so far as, you know, was waiting there with weapons for a truck to come, and then ultimately killed himself. So, you know, the law, what will have to be decided if this survives a motion by a jury is to what extent should Google Gemini be responsible for the acts of this individual? Should they have been more alert to this kind of behavior? Should they have pop-ups? Now, they say there are pop-ups when the word suicide is mentioned that refer you to an 800 number, but the allegation is that that's not enough. They should have acted more definitively when it was engaged in this discussion with this individual.
And listen, I know there are a lot of people listening going, come on, you know, most people know the difference between real life and AI. And that's true. And someone that is not suffering any mental illness would, you know, determine the difference. But I don't know. This is going to be really scary as these suits continue. You said there's been quite a few. Oh, we got a bad cell with you, Rich.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. Yeah. So there have been a few of these types of things.
There have been. Yep, there have been a few. A lot of cases have settled because, of course, these companies don't want the publicity associated with it. But there are a couple that are going to trial. But yeah, I mean, as this technology becomes better and more powerful, you're going to see, you know, more lawsuits like this.
Oh, that's sad. All right. Well, these are just fascinating stories. And as technology gets better, we're going to hear some more things that are unusual. So thanks for keeping us abreast of these situations, and rock on, Bruce.
See you in the pit.
No, you won't. I'll watch your videos, though. Thank you very much.